Welcome back to the Healthy Diabetic Podcast. As always, before we get started, please remember that nothing that you hear on this podcast should be considered medical advice or otherwise. Please always consult your medical team before making any changes to your diabetes management. Okay, so before we start with today's episode, I want to, one, thank everyone for being here. Thank you, as always, for continuing to listen every single week. You guys make this worth doing. Make this showing up for you guys every single week worth doing. So thank you again to all of you who continue to listen. If you're brand new to the channel, brand new to the podcast, welcome. I know you're going to get a lot of value out of these episodes, out of these conversations, and I hope you learn something from today's episode and previous and future episodes that you might hear. Also, I want to encourage you to share the show with someone that you believe can get some value out of it. If you're, you know, if you really like this episode, and you really like the conversations that are happening on this podcast, I encourage you to share those conversations with someone that you know is going to get some value out of it. And lastly, make sure that you're signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter is a bi-weekly, every other week newsletter that I push out with all the things that are going on with me, with my personal journey with diabetes, and all the stuff that's going on with my coaching business, and just lots of free resources. So please make sure that you are signed up for that. If you're not, no worries. There should be a link, or there is a link in the show notes. So don't miss out on all of the really cool free emails and more free resources through the newsletter. Okay, let's jump into this today. So this is going to be a continuation of a nice little series that I'm dubbing Diabetes Non-Negotiables. Had some really good insight from people, feedback from people from the previous episode about A1C, my thoughts about A1C. These conversations these topics are really cool because for me, I love talking about things that work within my diabetes management style. That's how I coach people. That's what I coach people on. Things that have worked for me and things that I've evolved and developed that are working for other people. So here we go. My diabetes non-negotiable CGMs. This is the CGM episode. So first off, if you don't know what a CGM is, because unfortunately, I can't even speak today, and apologies if it seems like I'm talking weird, but I've been sick this whole entire week. So if my voice seems a little muffled or weird, my apologies for that. I really wanted to get this episode out, so I decided to record it regardless. But CGMs, let's get back to this. CGMs. Some people, unfortunately, don't understand or might not know what a CGM is, whether you're type 1, whether you're type 2. I believe every single diabetic should be on a CGM. I don't care what type of diabetes you have. Heck, I don't even care if you're listening to this episode and you have gestational diabetes. For us to not be on a CGM is definitely a diabetes non-negotiable. Now, why is that? Let's define what a CGM is if you don't know what a CGM is. So a CGM is a continuous glucose monitor. So think about how many times that you prick your finger every single day if you don't know what a CGM is or if you're not on a CGM. So typically, if you're insulin-dependent diabetic, you should probably be pricking your fingers anywhere from 8 to 12 times a day, depending on your activity level and depending on how many times a day you eat and depending on what your daily life really looks like, right? Because if you have low feelings, then you should be testing your blood sugar. If you have feelings of being high, then you should be testing your blood sugar on top of before you go to bed, on top of when you wake up fasted in the morning, on top of before and after when you eat. That's a lot of finger sticks. And we know that if you do finger sticks, you know that they don't feel very good. I know for me, I do have tons of holes in my hands. Now, I've been on a CGM for a long time, so maybe they're healing up a little bit. But I can't really feel a finger stick anymore. I don't know about you, but I really can't. I can't feel a finger stick anymore. It doesn't, unless I, you know, crank that bad boy, that, you know, that bad boy up when I prick my finger, so it goes really deep into my finger, I can't feel it. So think about, if you can feel it, never having to do that again, or at least not having to do that in the amount that you're doing it now. Maybe only having to do it maybe once or twice every day, every couple days, every 10 days, whatever it might be. Because depending on what type of CGM you are actually on will also determine if you can calibrate it or if you can't calibrate it or what. So a CGM, continuous glucose monitor, it allows us to see our blood sugar 24/7. Where we can't see our blood sugar 24/7 when we're just doing normal finger sticks. Even if we are doing 8, 12 plus finger sticks a day, there's time gaps within our blood sugar that we can't really tell what's going on. Where if you're on a CGM, and I don't even care at this point what type of CGM you're on, I think there's better CGMs than others, but at the end of the day, a CGM is a CGM because it's doing something that a finger stick can't do, which is giving you pretty much 24/7 calculations of what your blood sugar is. This allows you to be able to look at trends and not just what you're eating, but trends on how you're feeling, trends on even if you're sick, because typically when you are sick, need your blood sugar skyrockets, or it might decrease, or what, it could be anything. And I only say that too, in terms of your sickness being able to increase or decrease your blood sugar, because me being sick over this past week, normally my blood sugar increases, and your blood sugar typically increases because your body's inflamed when you're sick, and which creates that inflammatory response creates cortisol, creates stress on your body, which is going to, you know, raise your blood sugars. But also, you know, and then with that, you typically are going to have an increase in insulin need if you're insulin dependent. So I say that because it's really interesting over the past week that I've been sick, because I've had no appetite. My insulin needs actually decreased by almost 30% over the whole entire week, which was crazy because I really wasn't eating anything, which also makes a little sense too. So it's like, you know, one, when you're sick, you're insulin resistant, you're inflamed, you're going to have that response without even eating food. But then if you have an appetite and you're eating some food, you're insulin resistant. So that's also going to spike your blood sugar. So it makes sense. But I think going back to the CGM piece, I think the most interesting thing, and the thing that I don't understand when I hear people talk about CGM, when I hear people talk about why they don't want to go on a CGM, is the fear thing of what someone else might view out of them, right? So if you are someone like this, if you are someone, and I say you, and I could even put myself in this situation, right? When I first started and I first heard about CGM, I was like, nah, I don't want to do that. When I was on MDI, I didn't want any devices on me. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want extra things on me. I first went on a pump and then a CGM I actually should have gone on a CGM then a pump. So the thought process of this fear process that we get into our heads about someone else viewing us in a certain way is crazy. And it's crazy because it doesn't really have basis in reality. Who cares what other people think of you? Who cares? And the other really interesting piece about this, when I talk to random people, because I've experimented with this. I've talked to random people, like say like at the beach, they see or at the pool, and they obviously are seeing my CGM and my insulin pump. And I go and ask them random questions. So I'll go ask people random questions. What do you think of this? I mean, does this, what's your initial thought process? Not one single person, and maybe this is because maybe they wouldn't tell you this, or maybe they didn't tell me this, but not one single person has ever told me, oh, you looked like a weirdo. Oh, well, you know, you looked like this, like responded in a negative way. It was actually more curiosity, which I think is one of the most coolest things, because we get these stories stuck in our head about devices and technology, and we're telling ourselves these stories that people are viewing us in a specific way or in a negative way. And I guarantee it's not even like that. No one is sitting back and witnessing us walk down the street and can see our CGM and say, oh, that's a bad person, or oh, that this person doesn't have it figured out, or oh, this person is not in a good space, this person's unhealthy. I guarantee you they're not saying that stuff about us. What I guarantee they're asking, or they're saying, like, oh, I wonder what that story's about. Oh, I wonder what that thing is on the side of their arm. Oh, what they might be saying actually is, oh, I wonder if that is a tobacco patch. I wonder if, have you ever had that before? Like someone come up to you and say, oh, that looks like let's say you're on the Omnipod, because I could see it from a distance from the Omnipod, because the Omnipod is probably close to that size, if we're thinking about any of the insulin pumps, you know. It's an interesting thought process, a very interesting thought process. And when I think about not wearing a CGM because of fear, or because of a story that I want to tell myself, or I am telling myself because I don't want to wear a device, or because I'm scared of what other people will think of me if they see devices on me, it's one of those thought processes that say, like, why am I worried about what other people will think of me when this amazing piece of technology can, one, save my life, and two, make my management and my life with diabetes so much better, so much better. And now with the G7, now with the Abbott Libre, I think it's the 3, their newest one. I haven't used the Guardian Medtronic CGM in a long, long time. I'm sure their technology is better. We've got the Eversense. We've got so many great options of CGM that allows us to see what our blood sugars are 24/7. So now we've talked about what the CGM is, and now we've talked about the importance of it. Okay. Or we talked about why someone might not want it. Let's dive into a little bit about the overall importance of this technology, because it goes way further, I believe, than just opening your phone and seeing what your blood sugar is. That is not the only thing that number is doing for you. It's giving you clarity based off of what's happened in the past and what potentially could happen in the future. If you're on the Dexcom, you have the arrows. Those arrows can give us insight to what our blood sugars could be in the next 15, 20, 30 minutes. So there's so much power behind this technology. And the thought process of not having it just because of the way you're going to be viewed, or the thought process of not having one just because you don't want another device on your body. I get it. 100% I get it. Or even just one device in your body if you're on MDI. I totally get it. But the technology and the application to having this technology far outweighs the thought process of not having one at all. I guarantee if you are on MDI and not wearing a CGM, and you even just go to a CGM and not do a pump therapy, but just stay on MDI, your management style and your blood sugars will be so much better. and you'll love yourself with diabetes so much more. I guarantee it. That is just the power of this technology. So this is why the CGM is a diabetes non-negotiable for me, because the importance of what those numbers and what the numbers represent and what they can tell me in terms of data and trends far passes anything else that I either fear or story that I want to tell myself. I don't ever have to prick my finger again. At least I don't typically have to prick your, you typically don't have to prick your finger again. Unless you're getting a bad signal or you got a bad sight or whatever. I mean, that's the nature of the technology as well. There might be some times where, like for me, I'm still on the G6. So if I'm getting a bad signal, if I'm getting bad reading, I might need to calibrate it. So I might need to prick my finger. I did an episode on CGMs a couple of weeks ago called Do You Trust Your CGM? And it was basically this whole thought process behind the importance of still having glucose monitors to do finger sticks, because the technology of CGM, unfortunately, isn't 100%. And sometimes it's faulty. Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes we have bad sights. It's just the nature of diabetes. Just like if you're on pump therapy right now, sometimes you have bad sights and you have to change out your pump before you get through the whole cycle of your 3 to 5 days or whatever, however long your pump lasts for. So do CGMs work 100% of the time all the time? Absolutely not. No, they do not. But they give us far more ability to have accurate and more stable and in-range blood sugars than if we were not on one. I don't know about you, but I would prefer to know what my blood sugars are and trust that they're accurate 80 to 85, maybe even 90% of the time. It might even be closer to 100% of the time, than have to constantly check and prick my finger 6, 7, 10, 12, 15, 20 times a day, but have no idea before or after that finger stick until the next one, right? Or before, up until that finger stick and then till the next one, you have no idea what your blood sugar is doing, right? So if I eat something and I test my blood sugar 30 minutes after, but whatever I eat and it hasn't really spiked my blood sugar yet, and then I test my blood sugar 2 hours later or an hour later, and it's slowly taking my blood sugar up, then I say, okay, cool, I pre-bolused the right way, I took enough insulin, so we should be good. But then in 4 hours, 5 hours, and all of a sudden I'm 200, 250. That's the power of CGM. CGM can help you prevent that from happening, because if for some reason your insulin doesn't get delivered in the right way, you're going to be able to see that throughout the whole entire process. Where if a finger stick, you can't see that. You cannot see that unless you are taking multiple finger sticks over the span of that hour or that 2 hours, right? So this is the power of CGM, and this is why the CGM is a diabetes non-negotiable. Now let's talk about the other elephant in the room with CGM, because right now, at least if you're listening to this and you live in America, in the US of A, most insurance companies in America only cover a CGM if you are insulin dependent, which I think is a freaking travesty. I think it's a travesty in our country or in the USA. I don't know about other countries, obviously, because I don't live in other countries. So if you're listening to this and you're in a country other than the US, and maybe you're a type 2 diabetic or you're pre-diabetic, and you're not insulin dependent, but you're allowed to have a CGM, 100%, that's awesome for you. Get on one now. Get on one now. It will change everything for you. But those of us who live in the USA, we need to have a doctor's note, and we predominantly need to be insulin dependent to get a prescription or get, you know, covered. At least most insurance companies, not all, will only cover you 100% for CGM if you're insulin dependent, which I think is insane to me. So that's the big elephant in the room. I think that if you are not on a CGM, even if you are insulin dependent or not insulin dependent, you should reach out to your doctor. Heck, as soon as you're done listening to this episode, reach out to your doctor and ask, can I get on a CGM? Can I try one? Most doctor's offices, again, we're talking US because that's where I live. Most doctor's offices in the US, endocrinologist offices, and even maybe even some family practitioner offices are going to have CGMs in their office that they give their patients to try out. Or heck, maybe you walk into an endocrinologist office that's maybe a private practice and say, hey, I'm looking to try a CGM and my doctor doesn't have one. Can I, you know, come on as a patient, or how, what can I do to try out one of your CGMs, or what can I do to get one of your CGMs to try out? I'm thinking about going to a CGM. What are they going to say? No. Oh my gosh. If they say no, you're in the same boat that you have been in for the past, however long you haven't been on a CGM. So don't ever be afraid to ask. Heck, you can even call up Dexcom, and Dexcom could potentially help you, or Abbott Libre, or Medtronic, or Eversense. I guarantee you can call up these companies and just tell them your situation, and they can do what they can to help you get on that CGM. It only benefits them. So please, 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 if you don't hear anything else that I am saying to you throughout this episode, if you are not on a CGM, I have two questions for you. One, why? What is getting in your way from getting on one? Is it your own fear? Is it your own thought processes of not wanting to be on one or not wanting to be attached to a device? And once you've answered that for yourself, then the second question is, what are you waiting for? It will 100% change your life as a diabetic. It will make it easier. And we all want diabetes to be easier. We all are waiting for this cure so we don't have to deal with the ups and downs and blood fluctuations and all the complexities of this condition. Well, I'll tell you what, until that happens, CGM is a really good way to help make this condition easier. So what are you waiting for? Remember, your only job as a diabetic, your only job, you only have one job. I don't care what anybody says to you. Your only job is to figure out what's going to work for you. That's the only way you're going to make this condition easier. And as I continue to say that, I want to be very clear. And as I say that, as you figure out what works for you, know that it probably will change. That thought process of what has worked for me has changed and evolved so many times. It's insane, right? So once I figure out one thing that doesn't work anymore, and I figure out a different way. The harsh reality of diabetes is that every single person is different, right? Every single person's management style is different. So if that's the case and your management style is not the same as everyone else's, why shouldn't it be unique to you? That's what I firmly believe that. And I think that we get caught up in these thought processes of, hey, like, you know, what worked in this situation for you? What worked in this situation for you? And I think all that information is really important. But instead of thinking about it like, okay, this is what worked for this individual, I'm going to use that, we should be thinking about it and reframing it into, oh, this is what this worked for this individual, so I'm going to take that and I'm going to implement that in some way into my management style and in my life. And what I've been able to do is take that thought process, and I've crafted questions, I've crafted different things, excuse me, like the five pillars of diabetes success that lays the foundation for you to start figuring out what works for you by creating principles, concepts, and values. That's how you build your own management style. You have to figure out those things first. You figure out what your values are. What do you value? You figure out what you want to obviously accomplish, and you figure out what goes into your pillars of the five pillars of diabetes success. Once you figure those pieces out, diabetes becomes so much easier because now you have some clarity on how to figure this condition out. And then from there, it's experimentation and failure, because that right there, experimentation and failure, is how you figure out diabetes. That is the magic sauce of figuring out diabetes. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Diabetes Non-Negotiables. I'll keep pushing these types of episodes out with my thoughts of different things that I think that are non-negotiables for diabetes, things that I believe that we should be taking advantage of, things in strategies and concepts and thought processes that I have, that I coach people on, that I just focus on and look at throughout my diabetes management style. So we'll keep plugging away on these topics because they're so important, and they are going to give you insight on how to start crafting your five pillars, and they're going to give you insight on how to start crafting your management style by experimentation and failure. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time.